Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
For a wall, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I
good morning, American. And sovereign minds.
Hope
okay.
You all have a wonderful Turkey Day.
Yeah, we want Americans and sovereigns, not the other kinds. Yeah,
it was good.
It was a good Turkey Day. It was nice and peaceful. I hope everybody enjoyed themselves. It was nice and quiet at our house, and we enjoyed it that way. Good food, good company. Well,
ate too much.
Yeah, that was the problem for me. I ate too much. I was like, holy crap, I don't eat this much ever. So this was
yeah, okay.
not for you. Yeah, years past. And the shut up.
So who are you trying to convince yourself? No, but it got full quick. But it was good food. How was yours, David?
It was good. It was quiet. I had a little bit of time with family, and it was without drama. I like that one.
Yeah, no drama is good.
Yeah.
And how about the producer in there? How was yours, David?
Amazing. I tried a new form of cooking the turkey, spatchcock.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Once you do that, you'll never go back.
We're going to try that on the next time because it's kind of a thing now. Huh?
Real quick, I sent a picture to Chef Cal, who has a show here on Wednesday nights.
Uh-huh.
I sent it to him, and he's Chef Cal. He's a really popular, famous chef. Well, anyways, he said I cooked it upside down.
Oh.
But it was amazing. So
how did you cook it upside down?
I don't know.
Wrong side down.
Yeah, you're supposed to just skin, I don't know.
You're supposed to let the skin on top and seat down.
You're supposed to, but I'm just wondering.
I mean, if it turned out wonderful, it turned out
well. Oh, yeah, spatchcocking is like the bomb.
It's the way to go.
What's the big draw?
You butterfly the turkey, basically, and then you put it on a
smoker. All right. What's the big draw, though? It tastes better. It's
more juicy.
Yeah,
it's not as dry. It cooks in less time.
You split it out, and instead of basting it, you actually end up taking the butter and you shove it underneath the skin.
Mm.
And so it basically bastes itself throughout the time that it's cooking.
And because you're not cooking it at a lower heat, it's a lot more moist, and it cooks in a lot less time.
Mm. No, we're going to try.
Oh, yeah. I've done a couple of them.
You have to cut the backbone out of it.
Out of it, yeah. But it's basically you're butterflying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of food.
We are him.
My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host.
What? Okay.
I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting and the endless fork of turkey.
Good morning,
divine
everybody.
Turkey stuffing.
Hey, when it comes to that stuff, I know quite a bit.
There you go.
Yeah.
Also, we've got in the house with us again, the kid who rocks around the clock faster to speeding internet connection profile. Then never mind, go ahead. Dave
Good
Johnson!
Morning, welcome to the cooking show.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, there you go. oh boy, I'm gonna try to catch up today with, it's kinda tough when, you know, you've been relaxing for a while, now you gotta start working and thinking again, you know.
Well, now you gotta start looking at all the crap that ended up taking place over the last little bit.
The news cycle.
Before we get started, I said that I would do this for Dick Wilkinson. You know, every year he does the big red barn with all the lights. I mean, thousands and thousands of lights and everything for Christmas.
Rivaling the Reading Garden of Lights, almost.
Yeah, for the whole month. But he's always looking for donations for candy canes. He would prefer the 5-inch, and you can get them at Reading Walmart. And let's see, the price is $1.73 a box. You get 12 candy canes. Or a case of 36 is about $62.28. So if you can help him out, you can deliver them at 3187 Barrel Court here in Reading, or you can always give Dick a call at 530-246-9131. So if you can help him out, because he hands out thousands of candy canes.
Yes, he does. I've been there before handing several of them out myself. He's been doing it for like 15 years or something.
Right. So if you can help him out, that would be great because, you know, he does a lot for the community. So I just actually gave him a case this morning. So if anybody else can help him out, that would be wonderful.
We better talk about our sponsors. We're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents. 810 Main Street, Main Street, what a morning, yeah, Red Bluff, California, 530-527-5534, she's the best and will take care of all your insurance needs. Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575, licensed and bonded, and Crockmasters,
Jeff Worst. That does a professional repair on your windshield. And he guarantees his work. He's local, and he's a veteran, and he's a great guy down there. Give him a call at 530-241-8373.
We also want to let you know about Mountaintop Media. You need to get over there. And we did a show last week on the elections, and following up on that, that was a good show. And then tomorrow we'll be doing another blockbuster show on local crimes committed by people that
how about the lids off?
Yeah. So we want to have a good show with that tomorrow. We've got a bunch of new information and a guest that we're going to say is a surprise guest. But so you have to watch the show and see what it is tomorrow. It will be good. I guarantee it.
And we are live on Rumble right now. If
are
you
we?
Go to rumble.com/fires. I guess we don't have
Black Splash.
They don't have, make Coke the same way they used to.
That's racist. Oh, that's the racist Coke.
What is that?
Lollipop?
Cherry Cola Pop.
Oli Pop. I've never even heard of that.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Where's that from?
Holiday.
I was going to say Guyana or something.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway.
Wow.
We are, again, I also want to say, we're brought to you by conspiracy theories that the Dems said were true. And we have a whole list. Trump colluded with Russia. Not true. Borders not open.
Yeah.
Not true. Replacement theory is not real. True. Not true. Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation. Vaccines are safe. This is all of this last year. All these things were debunked. Isn't that crazy? Maybe we have to have a year-end show about all the stupid crap.
Yeah, I've got a whole list here, too. Pandemic?
Masks work. Masks work. The virus came from a bat. Some bat was flying around and infected another bat. And then pretty soon they flew into the Wuhan wet market and infected some person who then ran over to the Wuhan lab and spread it around the lab. That's why it was called the Wuhan virus. And I'm lying so much right now. I'm thinking
right?
I'm part of the mainstream media.
Yeah, you're trying to competition there or what?
I don't know. Maybe I need to
know. How about
show.
Epstein Sex Island?
The Epstein Island.
Sex Island.
Yeah, it's kind of like not Gilligan's Island. And the skipper's a different guy. Yeah.
That's gross. Just saying. That's sick and wrong.
Hey.
Just sick and wrong.
So there's no inflation. It's transitory. Remember? Joe Biden isn't corrupt.
Well, maybe Joe isn't.
I should add a caveat to that.
Well,
or mentally unstable.
To Joe? Joe may think he's okay. He doesn't know any better.
Joey's from Scranton. He's the Scranton kid. Don't worry about it. He's all good. Ask Kamala.
She's running neck and neck with him here lately.
Well, the next my next one is the mainstream media doesn't lie. And the election in 2020 was the most fair and honest in history, and there was no cheating. Yeah. Are you stupid? Oh, and there's more than two genders.
Oh, there's not?
There is more.
Oh. Yeah. What, 72 more or something?
I don't even know. I lost count. I don't think they know either. Voter ID is discrimination. If you want voter ID, you're racist. You're a homophobic. You're a truthophobic. Is there a truthophobic? I don't know if the truth is the truth. Is there such thing as a truthophobic? I think that's what they are. It's truthophobics. White supremacy is the biggest problem in America.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's the one we're all worried about.
Yeah.
Colored people can't be racist.
Not our food.
Yeah, we're not worried about our food, our borders, economic collapse, the dollar collapse. We're not worried about our health. We're not worried about
getting poisoned.
Getting poisoned. We're not worried about
Christian nationalists.
Yeah, it's white supremacy. Which I should have. I got this clip with Sunny Hoskin. I should have pulled that up here pretty soon, where she finds out she is a descendant of a black slave owner that she might have to pay reparations to herself.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. Boy, that was like swallowing a bug. Social justice is justice.
Oh, yeah.
Let that one sink in for a minute. Being racist stops racism.
That sounds an awful lot like mob rule.
Yeah. It's like,
no.
It's like you do what you're told and nobody gets hurt. See, because that's like justice, you know? J6 was an insurrection. Yeah, they all showed up without guns, little old ladies, bunch of people stormed the Capitol. I got new footage.
I saw some new stuff, too.
You see that? Where they're, like, shooting rubber bullets. Six documented incidences of the police, Capitol Police, shooting rubber bullets into the heads, which you're not supposed to do, of the J6 insurrectionists. Yeah. Yeah, that didn't rile anybody up. You know, how'd you like to be out there? I'm gonna protest. I'm afraid they've stole the election because they cheated, and now people start shooting me with rubber bullets. I'm not getting mad, am I?
Well, and how about all the people that were feds that were in the crowd and all the different instances to where we had people that didn't get arrested when they were telling people to go into the Capitol? And that only ended up
And where
out.
Did these people come from?
You're an insurrectionist denier, aren't you?
Right?
Didn't they come from the Democratic side?
I don't know.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Certainly so the Antifa members did.
Speaking of BLM and Antifa, those riots were all peaceful, right?
Mostly peaceful, but
I'm sorry. I missed the word there. Mostly peaceful.
Except for the pipe bomb, you know, that was outside the DNC and stuff.
No, that's different. That wasn't the riots. We don't want to talk about that because that's not something that is in the narrative. How about this one? Fauci is science. Remember? You know, the guy who experiments on beagles and made up a big thing about the virus.
He lied. He didn't make it up. He lied.
The masks and how the shots cured and they didn't cure. Then they cured 90%. Then it was 80%. Then it was 60%. Then it was 50%. Then
he never said that.
Or the fact he had his emails that he was corresponding back and forth to see if it was one of their projects that got loose. That was interesting.
And, you know, big payoffs by Big Pharma.
No. He never said that or anything. God, you guys.
Follow the science!
You know? You misinterpreted what he said.
Hey, boy! Yeah, that's right. You misinterpreted the truth. So we have to tell you some more lies because, you know, They're going to have a new title instead of MSLSD or MSDMC. They're going to be X.
Here's some of the excerpts from those emails, because I formerly had somebody be like, oh, that's not true. So this is from Comer.whitehouse.gov. This is 2022. Excerpts of the emails released today reveal the following. January 27, 2020, Dr. Fauci knew NAID had funded EcoHealth Alliance with a WIV and was sub-guaranteed that EcoHealth Alliance and EcoHealth was not in compliance with the grant reporting, in particular a grant that NIAID had a gain-of-function potential in a novel bat virus, coronavirus. February 1, 2020, Dr. Fauci Collins had at least 11 other scientists convened at a conference to discuss COVID-19. The conference calls, Dr. Fauci Collins were the first warned that COVID-19 may have been leaked from WIV and may have been intentionally genetically manipulated. February 4th, 2020, after speaking with Dr. Fauci and Collins, four participants of the conference called abandoned their beliefs the virus originated at the Wuhan lab and authored a paper entitled The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2 Prior Final Publication in Nature Medicine. The paper was sent to Dr. Fauci for editing and approval. April 16th, 2020, more than 2 months after the original conference call, Dr. Collins emailed Dr. Fauci expressing dismay that the Natural Medicine article at which they saw prior publication were given the opportunity to edit did not squash the lab leak hypothesis and asked an NIH can do more to put down the lab leak hypothesis. April 17, 2020, Dr. Collins explicitly asked for more public pressure. Dr. Fauci cited natural medicine paper from the White House podium, likely an effort to further stifle the hypothesis of COVID-19 leak from lab theory. This is on the government pages. That man knew what he was doing from the beginning of 2020 and lied to
everyone. What are you talking about?
No, he didn't.
I am the science.
I'm the science, even.
Well, since he's the science, I feel like he should be the one to
be put down. I got to do my Jackie Mason impression again. I don't know what to do about this.
Lawfully after a trial, of course.
So, I want to also, I want to play this short clip. This is kind of what, this kind of capsulizes everything that the mainstream media has been doing for 10-something years, 15 years, 20,
we don't have
30.
That much time.
This is Megyn Kelly. And
yeah, this
I wanna,
is pretty good.
And I want people to listen to this on how they were using lawfare against Donald Trump. All right? Oh, he's a convicted felon. He's not. He hasn't been convicted of any felony. And then we'll explain.
You mean the made-up felonies?
And then we'll explain to the people out there how the use of lawfare is and what the rules of evidence are, so that you understand that there's actually three levels of evidence that either convicts, whether it's civil, criminal or whatever. But let's listen to, are we ready to go in there, Dave? Let's listen to Megan. And I forget which show this was on, but this is entitled Megyn Kelly Gives a Master Class on the Lawfare Against Donald Trump. Let's listen to this, and here we go.
We look at the five cases, 6 months from now, or a year from now. Let's assume all five of them go to trial. He's guilty of three so far.
Wait, what do you mean he's guilty of three so far?
Wait, he's been convicted of three, sorry.
What do you mean? No, he hasn't.
Eugene Carroll was guilty.
That was not a conviction. That was a civil case.
Okay, well, yes, so that's what I'm talking about. So that
okay, but there's a big difference.
Still, he was convicted. He was guilty of that.
Let me just stop right there and give you legal levels of proof. There's actually three of them. And there's a preponderance of the evidence, which is a default standard in most civil cases where nobody's pleading guilty, but a preponderance of the evidence finds you to be liable. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you even actually did it, because the standard is so much lower than beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the highest standard used in criminal cases. So there's a huge difference between a settlement in a civil case and being convicted in a criminal case, okay? There's also clear and convincing evidence, a high standard used in civil cases. But my point is that a lot of cases are settled at the lower levels in civil arenas with nobody claiming anything other than it's not a default. I'm convicted. It's more of, okay, we agree to settle this to get rid of it. Okay. Not necessarily, I'm not admitting any guilt, because if it's going to cost me $300,000 to hire an attorney, then I can settle it with you for $20,000. Why would I pay the attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean I'm guilty? Not no, but hell no. It just means that you've brought a litigation against me that I have to defend myself from in a civil court, regardless of whether there's any actually evidence to convict me of anything. Or make me liable for anything. So let's listen to the rest of Megyn Kelly here.
The Trump Organization, they're guilty there.
Okay. Again, was still civil, liable.
Yes, of course. But these are the cases we're talking about. And in the third one...
she's a lawyer, right?
Yeah, of course. And in the third one, I'm just talking about the five cases. Yes, some are civil, obviously, and some are not. Some are criminal. But if we look
you
at all
said
five
three
cases,
convictions. Now you're walking it back.
I'm not walking it back. There's
get
three in which he was...
You should walk it back.
Okay, I'm so glad Megyn is here.
Of the five, three of them, he's either guilty or...
You got a bad result.
Yeah, got a bad result. There are two more. If he is found guilty of those two more, Megyn, and five of five, he had a bad result, way to frame it, will you chalk all five up in your mind to five different jurisdictions, five different prosecutors, five different juries and or judges, all conspiring to get him?
100%.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. That's all I wanted to hear your answer to. Five different jurisdictions.
Yeah.
You think it's all lawfare?
I mean, E. Jean Carroll, they changed the law so that she could bring a civil lawsuit against him, and she did. New York went 87% for Joe Biden. That fix was in right from the start. The fraud trial that Letitia James brought against him has never been brought. There's no victims. The banks who were involved said, we didn't lose a penny. What are we doing here? We weren't damaged. Yep. Nobody was complaining except Tish James, who ran for office saying, I will get him. Then you have Alvin Bragg, who's a George Soros-funded prosecutor who doesn't like to prosecute any crime in New York City, where I lived for 17 years, except if your name is Donald Trump. Let's go down to Georgia, where Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade couldn't keep their libidos in check long enough to actually bring this case against Donald Trump. It's a repeat of what was happening in January 6th up in the case with Judge Chutkan, who loathes Trump and has sentenced almost every J6 defendant to way more jail time than their counterparts would get. Those are falling apart because of presidential immunity, which was handed down by the Supreme Court, who said you cannot bring a criminal case against a sitting president for any official act. Those cases have been gutted. Also, a Supreme Court ruling saying the same on January 6th defendants in general. And that leaves us with Florida and the documents. And Trump has torn that apart because Jack Smith wasn't properly appointed and isn't the right counsel. But there are other issues. They haven't even gotten to presidential immunity there. And so that one's going nowhere as well. And by the way, they're going to appeal it up to the 11th Circuit. Circuit throw it out. The 11th Circuit is conservative, and thank God so is the current Supreme Court. They're not going to tolerate that nonsense.
Let me ask you about... I think Jay Cal just lost his right to ever bring up lawfare again.
No, we're
done
to,
with
we're
your bullshit.
Did I get that? Okay. Yeah, so I was trying to make sure I cut that off. But the real deal is that...
I got it.
Did you get it? Yeah, so he said we're done with your BS, by the way. And so, a couple of things here. The mainstream media parroted over and over and over, convicted felon, to where the morons out here believed he's a convicted felon. I still see it. They don't know.
Yeah, but they did that with everything. They did over and over and over and over and over again.
Why do you think MSNBC, which is soon to be XNBC, why do you think that they're losing all of their viewership? Because people finally woke up, at least the ones that have any brains, to the fact that they've been lied to over and 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 over.
Yeah, they're seeing through it, that's for sure.
It's linguistic. So now they're saying that Trump didn't win the popular vote when they've said for the last 10 years that Hillary won the popular vote with 48%, Trump won the popular vote with 51%. Okay.
BS. That's about the we're going to hit the BS button. Okay, every time we hear mainstream crap, that's what we're going to do. We're going to hit the BS button. So,
that's going to be a long
beep. That was easy.
Yeah,
can I try
one?
Try one. See, let's see.
Okay, since you guys are on this, trust the machines. Elections are real.
Well, they are
They're real.
Election
results that aren't tampered with are real.
Sorry, I'm really cynical today.
So
I'll get over it. I'll get
So and since this clip was done, Jack Smith's cases were all dismissed. Okay, and here's where I'm going with this. All right, this is Megyn Kelly. Dems will rue the day they decided to use lawfare. The only way to save the Republic now is to give them a taste of their own medicine. They need to be prosecuted. Lawfare could be used to prosecute Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton for their crimes. See, they've opened the door here so that now, oh, what's a crime? Anything I say, it's a crime. But what happens when you actually commit a crime? Their immunity no longer applies now, does it? So
yeah, but they can be prosecuted anyway because now there's people that can do it or will do it.
All I'm saying is that her parting word is fight fire with fire.
Right.
You guys
want to
play with fire? Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, and that's the big problem because you have the administration right now that is seriously contemplating not letting the incoming administration, seriously contemplating not letting the FBI vet some of these people based upon who the FBI has been in these last couple of years.
They don't really like Kash Patel.
Yeah, they don't like him at all. I wonder why.
We probably should go
to a break. Yeah. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Yeah, you're supposed to start that at 102.
And here we go.
And the cost of freedom buried in the ground. Mother Earth will swallow you. Lay your body down. Find the cost of freedom buried in the ground. Mother Earth will swallow you. Lay your
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Are you ready to roll the dice and hit it big? Get down to Wind River Resort and Casino and take your shot at the brand new craps table.
Feel the excitement, the thrill, the rush.
Whether you're a seasoned player or just getting started, craps has something for everyone.
Pass line,
hard way. Come hit your point and win big. Roll in to Wind River Resort and Casino today. Your luck starts here. For complete details, see windriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Join Join Shasta College Saturday and Sunday, December 7th and 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Shasta College Farm for their annual country Christmas fair and tree sale. They have a wide variety of trees to choose from. And come and get your Christmas shopping done early with handcrafted gifts, plus proceeds will benefit Shasta College students. In addition to shopping, you can enjoy the free family fun activities with a bounce house for the kids and a petting zoo, too. It's all happening at the Shasta College Farm. Bring six non-perishable canned food items and receive $3 off one tree. Canned food will be donated to the Good News Rescue Mission.
Yeah, I like that. Shoving it into overdrive. Perfect.
Okay. Hold on.
What I'm going to do is play the clip first, and then we'll clarify it. All right? Because let's hear. We want to play this clip from Patty Plum.
Okay.
About yesterday and the meeting that they're having, and we want to clarify that the meeting's not a special BOS meeting, as was said in the chat room, and we'll give you the address. But let's go play a little bit of this. This was, when was this posted? This was posted on the 29th, so a couple days ago. And this is what they're talking about with the voter integrity and so forth that's been going on at the ROV office. But let's play some of it. We're not going to play all of it, but let's play some of it.
Good afternoon. My name is Patty Plum, and this is my husband, Ron Plum. And the date is Friday, November 29th, 2024, here in beautiful downtown Redding, California. I want to make it clear, first of all, that I am speaking as a concerned citizen of Shasta County and not as an election observer, election commissioner. This press release today is in response to our appointed clerk and recorder, Thomas Toller's comments regarding the protest and demonstration here at the street corner near the election office on Tuesday, November 26, 2024. Press release from November 26, that was Tuesday, 2024. The citizens of Shasta County are currently being disenfranchised. The U.S. Supreme Court in 1950, U.S. versus Mosley, concluded that we not only have the right to cast a vote, but we have the right that vote be counted accurately. Shasta County did not follow their user manual provided by Hart InterCivic on page 33, and as a result, the printing error on live ballots occurred. One out of two ballots are rejected and must be duplicated. California voting system standards are not being met in Shasta County. The voting system Hart InterCivic is, as it is currently utilized, has a missed feed rate of approximately 250 ballots for every 500 ballots, and thus far exceeds the state voting system standards set forth by the Secretary of State that allow for no more than one missed feed per 500 ballots scanned. The duplication process is conducted in private with no meaningful observation, and the process is complicated and lacks clear workflow. Thus, most concerningly, the duplication process is done without maintaining chain of custody, and observers are not permitted to look over the shoulder of an individual creating the duplicate ballot, nor are they able to look over the shoulder of the individual double-checking the accuracy of the duplicated ballot. AB 969 provided for cases such as ours. By creating a new law, California Election Code 15270.3, which states that an election official may conduct a manual vote count in the event of a natural disaster or other state emergency in which use of the certified voting system is not feasible. We declare that has happened here in Shasta County, and it is a state of emergency in which the use of a certified voting system is not feasible. We insist that 100% manual hand count be conducted to ensure accuracy and transparency in the Shasta County elections, and we demand that election officials guilty of maladministration described above be placed on administrative leave effective immediately. It is our desire to continue informing the public of the challenging condition of our current election process, as well as offer educational material and forthcoming emergency meetings and town halls for the purpose of gathering together in unity, seeking solutions for our county. We have met with ROV Tom Toller several times this year, before, during, and after his appointment by the Board of Supervisors, sharing helpful documentaries regarding election history and the evolution of how we have arrived here where we are at today. One of these exceptional resources came from professor and attorney David Clement with his documentary, Let My People Go, which we were able to show publicly at the Reading Library on July 13th. And Tom Toller told me that he was able to watch this at home, and he wanted to meet with Professor Clement, or at least get his phone number, which I did give him his private number. I was happy to give it to Tom, and we highly recommend the people of Shasta County watch this extremely important documentary over the holiday weekend before next Tuesday, December 3rd, as certifying our election needs to be addressed by we the people. Along with that, the public is invited to an emergency meeting and town hall on Monday, December 2nd, from 4 to 6 p.m., with another press conference at 3:30. We demand no rubber stamping a certification for defective machines or a defective process, nor the canvassing board to declare the election is true and accurate. The logic and accuracy test has been requested and still not has been disclosed to us. Mr. Toller claims it is not appropriate to share at this time. Well, it's come to this, Mr. Toller. We are asking for reform of our election or resign your position. And with that, I want
to... I'm going to stop it there, and you can watch the whole thing if you go to Robert Exter's channel, Reform or Resign. And so there is going to be a board meeting on Tuesday, I believe, but...
No. Okay, so here it is. To clear up the confusion regarding Monday, 12-2. The emergency town hall meeting is at the library.
But there's a board meeting on Tuesday.
No, it's the 9th.
This is the 9th?
Yes.
Okay, so...
If you let me finish
there. Go ahead.
Okay. Because the BOS declined our request, regular election commission and board of supervisor meetings are scheduled for next Monday, 12-9 at 2 p.m., which would be the commissioners, and then board of supervisors next Tuesday at 12-10, the date, December 10th, at 9 a.m.
So there's not going to be a Board of Supervisors meeting this Tuesday then?
Correct.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. So right. Just to clear that up, but they will have this town hall tomorrow, the 2nd, at 3:30, and it's going to be outside the library.
All right, very good. Well, that's okay. What we wanted to get across is to make sure we got that all straightened out so there's no miscommunications or misunderstandings. So... Very good. So let's move on. What else have we got going here today?
There's so much. Oh, so we were talking earlier about Trump and the BRICS. Remember, I finally found the article.
Okay.
It's in the Gateway Pundit, and it's mean tweets are back. Trump puts BRICS on notice, threatens countries with 100% tariffs if they try to replace the mighty dollar. That's the headline in Gateway Pundit, and it came out on November 30th.
So. Yeah, that's going to get interesting because we've been exporting dollars worldwide.
Correct.
Counterfeiting the Fed, all of it. That's coming to a head. But let's go. We got a caller. Let's go to Stones. I think he's probably going to add to the last subject.
Good morning, Stones.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, a couple issues, quickly. Still collecting some volunteer names for a potential recall against the district attorney. I do have some names, but we still need more. We're using November, December, perhaps early January to just build everything, collect the volunteers. And I hear you guys are going to do an interesting podcast tomorrow, so I will certainly watch that.
Yes.
So one of the, and I'll just briefly summarize. So one of the people that I've talked to is the fiance of a guy in jail for 5.5 years. These sexual allegations happened when the suspect and the victims were underage. Two mistrials. Next trial is coming up in February, so 2 months or so. Brady Act violations, exculpatory evidence withheld intentionally. The Bridges office is not known for any of that, right? There's going to be more specifics to follow on this. I have other people, whistleblowers, calling me with their nightmarish stories.
Who do the people call to participate in the recall? If anybody who you're going to need volunteers and you're going to probably have meetings, get this set up. How do people get involved?
Yeah, so I'm looking for both organizational volunteers. Right, when we did the recall Shasta, we had a core group of folks, probably 10 to 15 people, that did an immense amount of work in the background. And so right now, I'm really trying to build that team. But I'll collect any volunteers at this point. So 530-962-5168 or recall DA Bridget at protonmail.com. So we're kind of keeping this recall on the back warmer, through the holidays. And then hopefully first of the year we'll get out the torch and we'll really turn up the heat on that. And hopefully maybe file a notice of intent, maybe mid-late January or so, for the timeline. So that's happening. And then, I want to talk about a couple about election issues real quick. So if you heard the, Laura Hobbs last week on Jefferson and the replay this morning, there were some key issues. And the public, I really, really hope the public writes our board of supervisors regarding these matters. So these substitute machines that were brought in, were they part of the certified election system, first of all? And if they were not, what law or regulation allowed these machines to come in and do this substitute scanning? I honestly think they're making this stuff up as they go, honestly. And allegedly, these machines were logic and accuracy tested off-site. What on earth does that even mean? And by the way, logic and accuracy, LNA testing, it is required to be scheduled and noticed for public observation. So these very machines that we're using right here in Shasta County, if they're logic and accuracy tested, doesn't matter where it happened. Well, actually, it does matter. Was it publicly noticed, and was it scheduled, and was the citizens allowed to come in and observe? Number one, and if that did not happen, which is my guess. My guess is these substitute machines were not publicly noticed and scheduled for citizen observation. And even if they were, if that happened outside of Shasta County, I say that's invalid because those machines are being used in Shasta County, and it's the Shasta County citizens that should have observed that LNA testing, not somebody else. This is just a mess. This is such a mess. This is the worst election we've had in Shasta County history. So everybody, please email your concerns to the Board of Supervisors. Some people have been. We have to demand a emergency or special meeting. Either way, special meeting only requires 24 hours notice. So we need to demand an immediate additional meeting with the Board of Supervisors regarding Tom Toller has the jurisdiction to certify the elections. It's the Board of Supervisors that have the authority to vote on declaring that certification. Now, remember, we do not report local races to the Secretary of State. Not required. So when this came up last week on the Jefferson Show, so even if the Secretary of State certifies the Shasta County elections, they're only certifying the state and federal races that we reported. The Secretary of State doesn't even have the local results for the local races, so the Secretary cannot certify our local results. Does that make sense?
Yeah, why can't we just do a hand count on them then?
Well, I understand all that, but when I'm going down a road that's less traveled.
But what happens if they don't get certified? Wonder if he can't certify them on the 3rd.
Well, but but my point is that the Secretary of State does not certify our local elections. They don't even get the reporting of the results. Okay? That happens locally. The local elections get certified locally. Now, if we don't declare, if the board says we refuse to declare the results of the election, again, uncharted territory, at that point, the board should demand a 100% audit of everything, not just a recount of the paper ballots, because a lot of those ballots are fraudulent based off a dirty voter roll. They should demand a 100% audit of everything, especially the voter rolls of which the dirty ballots come from.
Interesting.
So then would it go back to a count?
Well, we clamp the voter roll, first of all. We audit the voter rolls and say, oh, look at this is an right. No, mm-hmm. That's going to take some time. But I mean, my gosh, what is a fair and transparent election worth if we have to suspend the results for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 months in order to clean all this stuff up? I mean, what's it worth? I'm just asking.
Interesting.
So,
well, they should be cleaning up the voter rolls no matter what anyway. They were supposed to have done that. We heard that over and over from Kathy Darlin Allen.
I don't see how they can certify it with all the stuff that has gone on mm-hmm. by the 3rd. I mean, really?
Well, that's a separate issue. Mr. Toller, unfortunately, he's swallowed the blue pill, unfortunately. I think he's compromised. That's my opinion. I believe he's compromised. You know, it doesn't matter how, but I believe... Because within a week or two of him getting in that office, he started keeping a lot of us at arm's length. I mean, it happened very quickly, so... I think he got compromised very quickly, and I highly doubt he's ever going to tell us that. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he has refused to do anything that he's promised any of us for increased fairness and transparency. But like I said, write the Board of Supervisors with your thoughts, especially on your concerns with this election, the substitute scanning machines, and if they're legal, legitimate, et cetera. Is there a contract in place for these substitute scanning machines? Dr. Hobbs brought that up. So was there a contract? Or did they just come in and start scanning? I think they just made this crap up as they went, honestly. I really do. And, I sent an email to that effect to the board already this morning and said, here's my concerns legally, and I would like the board to send my concerns to an election attorney. Not the county council. That guy has little to no knowledge of election law. So let's give these questions to an election attorney for answers, because it's highly likely these substitute scanners have a lot of legal issues with them, let's say that, in which case all of these scannings and everything else are invalid. They're just invalid, period.
Right.
So, well, I appreciate the time today, folks.
All right, thanks.
Have a good turkey day, and we'll see you soon.
All right, take care.
All
yeah,
right.
It brings up a lot of concerns about the machines, that's for sure.
Well,
and everything else
let's,
involved there.
Let's go ahead and move on to where you were going with the...
Oh, with the bricks?
Yeah.
About replacing the dollar?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. What it says here, well, Donald Trump... I think that was on X. He put the idea that the BRICS countries are trying to move away from the dollar while we stand by and watch is over. We require commitment from these countries that they will neither create a new BRICS currency nor back any other currency to replace the mighty U.S. dollar, or they will face 100% tariffs and should expect to say goodbye to selling into the wonderful U.S. economy. They can go find another sucker. There is no chance the BRICS will replace the U.S. dollar international trade, and any country that tries should wave goodbye to America.
Well, that's an interesting... I mean, they got to try to protect the dollar, but unless they're going to back the dollar and quit the endless printing, you can't hardly blame the BRICS from wanting to get out. So it's a bad deal all the way around until you get some sound money here.
Well, and that's why we keep ending up sending billions of dollars to all these other countries, because we have to keep them reliant on the U.S. dollar. If we don't end up having other countries using the U.S. dollar, our fiat currency is completely worthless. We don't have it backed by anything.
Well,
it's pretty close there now. That's the issue. Pretty close there, but it's interesting times with it. But there you go.
I remember a story that my dad was telling me. He ended up working over in Russia for a time, and the cab drivers always wanted the U.S. money. So they would end up doing a better exchange rate than what the banks would do as far as the ruble goes over there, as far as giving them actual cash, because the U.S. dollar at the time was so strong. But that's something that we've lost. We don't have that type of belief in our U.S. money anymore. We're sending billions and billions of dollars all over the world at every given point in time just to keep them dependent upon it.
Well, the government up to now has been pretty evil as far as everything has gone and the direction we've gone. That's why the people had this mandate of, we want to change directions. This is out of control across the board. We're hoping that Trump's going to be the guy that starts doing it, and there are a lot of good signs, but I'm still concerned about what's happening with our money, what's happening with the standard, what's it backed by. I mean, endless printing and devaluing our dollars and selling our currency to foreign countries. That's about all the thing. It's about the only thing we're producing right now is dollars to sell to other countries. So,
and war.
So we need to reverse that and bring the manufacturing back, start producing, get depending on our own economy, to be self-sustaining, not depending on every country in the world. That's the problem with this global economy, is that when you get dependent on a bunch of other countries for your sustenance, pretty soon you kind of are in a box where you have to kind of follow the rule of their bidding, you know. So
well, hopefully the tariffs and stuff will make a big difference in the manufacturing coming back to the United States anyway. That's what we're hoping for. Anyway, we've got Jimmy on the line. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, folks. One of the misnomers I heard about the BRICS nations is that they were going to create a currency or something of that nature, get off the U.S. dollar, because they were going to be backed by gold.
I did hear that, too.
And I've been listening to a lot of guys that deal with, like, huge amounts of precious metals, and they said that there's not enough gold in the world to back our currency or the BRICS currency.
Well,
they went off standard.
That's really not true. What it is that there's plenty of gold and precious metals and oil to back currency. You just have to take the currency value and take the currency itself, the pool of currency, and get it, shrink it until you get to a stability of the backing. See, so it just means that if you as long as you can keep printing money, it doesn't matter.
You have to take it out of circulation.
You have to have a limited supply of it backed by whatever you're going to back it by. That's the problem, and it's not a matter of whether there's enough gold or not. It's a matter of there's just too much currency.
So in that case, would the say the American dollar gold's at like 26.47 right now? Would that exponentially raise the price of gold?
Well, if you eliminate the currency problem, then the gold actually doesn't go. See, the gold never goes up or down in value. All it's doing is showing its real value as opposed in comparison with the actual currency in existence. That's all it's doing. It's like the canary in the coal mine. If you've only got so much, let's say you've got, a tenth of the currency or a hundredth of the currency in existence that we have now, then gold would probably be at $26 an ounce because the value remains pretty stable. But when you print, 100 times the currency that you should have, then what happens is, so remember when you could take a nickel and buy a candy bar? Now it's $1.50. So it's relative in stabilizing it. But to have a stable economy, you can't keep increasing the supply of currency constantly. That's the problem.
Right. So that's kind of what I said, 2,600 and some change. Not $26.
I know.
Right.
I get it. I understood.
Right. So yeah. So since we've been printing so much money, yeah, I get it. So do you think gold is going to skyrocket here pretty soon?
If they keep printing money,
I'll take my answer off the air.
Sure. All right, thanks, Jimmy. If they keep printing money, yeah.
It has to.
The problem is it's always going to keep up with the amount of currency that's in supply.
Right.
That's the problem. When you stop that, then it holds the government accountable to stop printing. That's the whole point of having a standard, so that they just don't keep going in more and more debt. We didn't even have a debt till 1971 when we went off the gold standard. All this debt has been created out of thin air and owed to a bunch of private bankers that are printing the currency out of thin air and charging us interest. This whole thing is just a big scam sham. So what we need to do is we need to go to U.S. dollars backed by gold, and that's it. That's what made the dollar strong to begin with, is the fact that it was stable, the fact that they weren't inflating the currency supply constantly. And so that made the value of the dollar second to none worldwide. That's why it was the world reserve currency and still is.
KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The GOP embarks on an ambitious 100-day agenda, starting with tax cuts. At least that's the plan. Here's correspondent Ron Taylor.
Republicans swept to power on Election Day and now control the House, the Senate, and the White House with plans for an ambitious 100-day agenda come January. Their to-do list includes extending tax breaks, cutting social programs, building the border wall to stop immigration, and rolling back President Biden's green energy policies. Atop that list is a plan to renew some $4 trillion in expiring tax cuts that were a signature domestic achievement of Donald Trump's first term as president. It's an issue that may define his return to the White House. Ron Taylor reporting.
This week we'll find out how the job market performed last month with the release of a couple of closely watched employment reports.
The first of the two reports is due at midweek. Payroll processor ADP's November update will be released Wednesday. On Friday, it's the Labor Department's jobs report. The October report was surprisingly weak, with employers growing their payrolls by only 12,000 jobs. The October unemployment rate was 4.1%. Among other economic updates due this week, reports on construction spending, auto sales, factory orders, and consumer sentiment. The Fed's Beige Book is due on Wednesday. Rich Thomason reporting.
Big snowfall has blanketed parts of New York, Pennsylvania, and Michigan this weekend during the hectic holiday return travel period. Shopping has stalled in some places, too. The numbing cold and heavy snow could persist into the early part of the week and cause hazards in the Great Lakes, the Plains, and Midwest regions. A third night of protest in the Georgian capital against the government's decision to suspend negotiations to join the EU has left 44 people hospitalized after police deployed water cannon and tear gas yesterday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit. 800-885-3333. That's 800-885-3333. 800-885-3333.
Pakistani officials say sectarian clashes have killed at least 130 people in the northwest during the last 10 days. Violence has flared in Karam district. It started on November 21st when gunmen ambushed a vehicle convoy and killed scores, mostly Shiite Muslims. Nobody so far claimed responsibility for the assault, which triggered retaliatory attacks and arson. The deputy commissioner of Karam says negotiations are underway to cut a deal on a ceasefire and that security personnel have been deployed to enforce the peace. Thousands joined a march today in the northern Serbian city of Novi Sad to mark 1 month since a concrete canopy on the outside of the city's railway station crashed down, killing 15 people and injuring two more. Protesters held a huge banner with a red handprint at the foot of the column, claiming that the authorities have blood on their hands for failing in their investigation and in preventing the disaster. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Navy is ready to launch a retrofitted destroyer to carry the fleet's first hypersonic weapons.
The USS Zumwalt has been undergoing renovations for more than a year at a Mississippi shipyard where workers have replaced inactive gun turrets with missile tubes. Pressure from Russian and Chinese developments have pushed the U.S. to deploy hypersonic weapons, which travel at 5 times the speed of sound. Once complete, the upgraded Zumwalt is seen as a platform to conduct fast precision strikes from greater distances. It will be undocked this week to prepare for 2 to 3 more years' worth of tests as it returns to duty. George Williams reporting.
Today is Sunday, December the 1st, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including World Golf Hall of Famer Lee Trevino, who's 85 years old, actress-singer Bette Midler, she is 79. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
We're back. Sovereign Minds, the second hour. You're listening to 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Truth Radio. And here's our town hall. Here we go.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local updates. Shasta County's November election vote count is nearing completion, with 89,173 ballots processed as of November 27th. The elections office encounters significant challenges, primarily due to ink overspray issues that require duplicating approximately 43,000 ballots, 50% of all ballots, far exceeding the expected 20% rate. An additional 733 vote-by-mail ballots needed reduplication. Registrar Tom Toller expects to certify results by December 3rd, despite missing the initial November 22nd target. His staff took the Thanksgiving weekend off after weeks of intense work. While a small group has called for a manual hand count, citing transparency concerns, Toller explained this would be contrary to California law and infeasible given available resources. In key races, Corky Harmon leads in County Board District 3. For Redding City Council, Aaron Resner leads the 2-year seat race, with Paul DeNuca and Mike Latall ahead for 4-year terms. In Anderson, Darren Hall, Susie Ball, and Bonnie Simmons top the council race, while Daniel Ringwalski, Greg Watkins, and Tony Coates lead in Shasta Lake. Measure P is narrowly failing, while Measure Q has definitively failed. Speaking of Anderson, the Anderson Union High School District Board recently debated withdrawing from the California Department of Education's Community Schools Grant Program, which has helped over 100 local families since 2023. Board members Darren Hill and Jackie La Barbera advocated ending participation, citing concerns about restorative justice principles, undocumented student services, and potential future costs. They also questioned the program's academic benefits. 3 board members opposed withdrawal, with Joe Gibson noting positive community feedback. The Shasta County Office of Education, which administers the program, clarified that schools have no obligation to continue services after the grant ends in 2028. The program provides 3 Community Connect coordinators who help families access medical care, dental services, and other support at no cost to the school. The board voted 3-2 to table the discussion until February. While local officials work to support families through education, education programs, another initiative aims to help those experiencing homelessness. The Good News Rescue Mission assembled 17 micro-shelters on November 16, 2024, to provide temporary housing for homeless men and women. The 65 to 100-square-foot shelters located at the mission's Vita Street Village will allow residents to recover from addiction, mental health issues, and trauma in a safe environment. The $325,000 project was funded by the City of Reading and private donations. The annual operating expenses of $250,000 to $300,000 will be covered by grants and donations. Sleeping on the streets is dangerous, especially for women who face higher rates of violence and exploitation. The micro shelters join two other similar communities in Reading operated by United Way and St. James Lutheran Church, which aim to house people in need for up to 10 months. On a brighter note for the local economy, early snowfall at Mount Shasta Ski Park has generated optimism for the 2024-25 season, with local merchants anticipating improved business compared to last year's delayed opening. The park plans to open December 11th ahead of the typical pre-Christmas launch. Local business owner John Kennedy Jr. reports approximately 2 feet of snow at city level, suggesting heavier accumulation at the higher elevation park. The early opening follows a challenging 2023-24 season, which didn't begin until mid-January. The ski park's operation significantly impacts the regional economy, particularly during Christmas and New Year's. Nearby, Mount Ashton Ski Area will open December 14th, while Mount Bachelor in Oregon has already opened, making its earliest start in over 20 years. The Siskiyou Ice Rink in Mount Shasta City is also operating, having opened November 16th. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Well, there you are. There's your town hall. What else have we got going here? Let's get back on our thoughts on the currencies and so forth. I wanted to.
I just wanted to say before we go on, and you touched on it with Jimmy, that gold has never really changed in price, and a lot of people don't realize that.
It's a value that you have to. That you're monitoring, you know, the price is relative. The price goes up and down, you know, relative to the value. And so it's the value you actually need to measure. You know, what will it buy?
Right. Yeah. But it's so. Because of the currency and how much is in the system.
Right.
Which determines what the value shall be.
So technically the price goes up and down, but the value stays the same.
Yeah, but.
Although I do have a article that ended up coming out just yesterday.
Can't hear you. Sorry.
Yeah. Are
you
on? Is my mic not on?
Did we cut his mic?
There you are.
There. Okay.
Well, I have an article that ended up coming out yesterday via the New York Post, and China claims to have unearthed the largest gold deposit in the world, worth $83 billion. They're claiming that it's estimated worth is more than $80 billion. More than 1,000 tons of gold reserves and ore veins were allegedly discovered. Geologists from the Hunan Provincial Geological Institute, some 12 miles beneath the surface of China's Pilongwe County, according to Chinese state media.
See, so this is a case where the actual value of the gold would change, because the reason gold's value stays relatively the same is because of the limited supply. But if you introduce if a meteor the size of the United States hit the Earth full of, and it was nothing but gold, it would change the value.
Right.
So that's the issue, but it's how stable that commodity is, and that's why gold's value is relatively the same as it was back in the days of Rome, you know, because the supply hasn't changed all that much in relationship to the economy. So anyway.
We do have a caller. We've got Andrew on the line. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, gang. I don't want the sweet meteor and death of gold to hit the USA. So let's talk silver. It's this is according to a 2014 Bloomberg article. The paper silver market is 250 times larger than the physical market, meaning every ounce of silver they've sold it 250 times.
Yep. I've been saying this for 15 years, and there hasn't been a reckoning yet, but I believe that it's coming.
That's why physical silver, you have to hold it. If you hold it, you're one of the 250 persons who don't.
Yeah, well, the old saying is if you don't hold it, if you can't touch it, you don't own it. So that's the problem with all these paper ETFs that they got running around out there. They're just counterfeiting them as well and selling them out on the open market with no backing. And the problem is that it's like playing musical chairs. If the music ends, then you're not sitting in one of the chairs, then you've lost everything.
I recommend we follow Nancy Pelosi's stock trades if you want to be in the market.
I hear they're having a sell on hammers.
Paul is well acquainted with that. Anyway, I just wanted to pipe in. You know, it's criminal. How can you sell something without possessing it?
Because the criminals have been in charge for quite some time, and the criminals are the bankers, and the criminals are the bankers' corporations that are the corporations that are owned by the bankers, and it all goes to the money supply. So that the old Rothschild saying is that if I control the currency of a country, I care not who writes the laws. That's basically what's been going on worldwide. So these guys have been doing anything they want and getting away with it. That's how they do it.
You know that Trump had Andy Jackson's portrait and statue in the
said he was his favorite president, which is I find quite interesting when you understand the actual history behind that.
Well, as far as the tale of Triers, that's where he gets a bad rap. It was a congressional move, and he had no way not to overcome it. But he busted the banks.
Yep.
And apparently, at the time, the central banks had a 20-year contract, and he did not want to renew it.
Yeah, he revoked it.
He paid off the U.S. debt, and that's why he's Trump's hero.
Yep. Well, and he said, I mean, some of his quotes were, you know, that the bankers were a hydra-headed den of serpents that he was going to rout out, by God. You know, and so he knew what they were doing, and of course they have to smear him with the Trail of Tears, and he's responsible and all that stuff. But on the economic front, he brought the United States into an age of prosperity that hasn't been seen since.
You know, they sent an agent to have him assassinated. The guy had two pistols, and these were maybe a flintlock at the time.
Well, he had ivory-handled pistols that he walked around the White House with, and there was like six attempts on his life.
Well, from one instance, somebody came up and fired two pistols. They did not discharge, and he beat him with his cane. I love this man.
Yeah, they didn't call him Old Hickory for nothing.
No, I don't think so. But he's got the bad rap on the Trail of Tears, and it was not his fault. He could not. It's just much like Reagan was forced to close the state hospitals, and he catches a bad rap on that. You know, our street corners are mental institutions now because of this.
Well, anyway. There's been no perfect presidency. Let's put it that way.
Right. Anyway, thank you, gentlemen and lady.
Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Andrew. Yeah. We appreciate the call. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
There hasn't been any perfect president, but there's been some that are way less perfect.
Well, there's been some really imperfect presidents, and we're living under the regime of one right now.
Yeah. Probably the worst in history, but very anyway. Good.
So with that said, I want to play this little clip. This is from the Joe Rogan Show, and I don't have the name of the guest in front of me on the Joe Rogan Show. I'll get it here. But listen to this. This is what he's saying, and this was posted by Elon Musk on Twitter, or Twitter X. So, let's play this, and then this will give you a little more idea of where the problems really lie. And it's with the monetary system and the bankers.
New in financial services.
And can you give me an example?
Well, I guess, debanking. This is where a lot of the debanking comes from, is these agencies. So debanking is when you as either a person or your company are literally kicked out of the banking system.
Like they did to Kanye.
Exactly, like they did to Kanye. My partner Ben's father has been debanked.
Really?
We had an employee who...
For what?
For having the wrong politics. for saying unacceptable things. Under current banking regulations, here's a great thing. Under current banking regulations, after all the reforms of the last 20 years, there's now a category called a politically exposed person, PEP. And if you are a PEP, you are required by financial regulators to kick them off of your to kick them out of your bank. You're not allowed
but
to have
them. What if you're politically on the left?
That's fine.
No.
because they're not politically exposed.
So no one on the left gets debanked?
I have not heard of a single instance of anybody on the left getting debanked.
Can you tell me what the person that you know did, what they said that got them debanked?
Oh, well, I mean, David Hurwitz is a right-wing, you know, he's pro-Trump. I mean, he's said all kinds of things. You know, he's been very anti-Islamic terrorism. He's been very worried about migration, all these things.
And they debanked him for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they debanked him. So you get kicked out of, your bank account. You get kicked out of the – you can't do credit card transactions. But, by the way, you can't
How
run
– How is that legal?
Well, exactly. So this is the thing. And so – and then you go into this thing of like, well, there's no – this is where the government and the companies get intertwined, back to your fascism point, which is there's a constitutional amendment that says the government can't restrict your speech, but there's no constitutional amendment that says the government can't debank you, right? And so if they can't do the one thing, then they do the other thing, and then they don't have to debank you. They just have to put pressure on the private company banks to do it, and then the private company banks do it because they're expected to. But the government gets to say, we didn't do it. It was the private company that did it. And, of course, J.P. Morgan can decide who they want to have as customers, of course, right, because they're a private company. And right. So it's this sleight of hand that happens. So it's basically a privatized sanctions regime that lets bureaucrats do to American citizens the same thing that we do to Iran.
Whoa.
Just kick you out of the financial system. And so this has been happening to all the crypto entrepreneurs in the last 4 years. This has been happening to a lot of the fintech entrepreneurs, anybody trying to start any kind of new banking service because they're trying to protect the big banks. And then this has been happening, by the way, also in legal fields of economic activity that they don't like. And so a lot of this started about 15 years ago with this thing called Operation Choke Point, where they decided to, as marijuana started to become legal, as prostitution started to become legal, and then guns, which there's always a fight about. Under the Obama administration, they started to debank legal marijuana businesses, escort businesses, and then gun shops, just like your gun manufacturers, and just like you're done, you're out of the banking system. And so if you're running a medical marijuana dispensary in 2012, like you, guess what? You're doing your business all in cash because you literally can't get a bank account. You can't get a Visa terminal. You can't process transactions. You can't do payroll. You can't do direct deposit. You can't get insurance. Like none of that stuff is – you've been sanctioned, right? None of that stuff is available. And then this administration extended that concept to apply it to tech founders, crypto founders, and then just generally political opponents.
So,
yeah, so that's been like super pernicious.
And, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, 100%. And this is called so it was Operation Choke Point 1.0 was 15 years ago against the pot and the guns. Choke Point 2.0 is primarily against their political enemies and then to their disfavored tech startups. And it's hit the tech world like we've had like 30 founders debanked in the last 4 years.
Real.
So maybe there's some bigger problems here.
we
need to address, and this is just hitting it. And this is the person who is speaking is Mark Anderson. He's an entrepreneur, investor, and software engineer. He co-creator of the world's first widely used internet browser, Mosaic, co-founder and general partner at the venture capital firm of Andreessen Horowitz, and he's also the co-host of the Ben and Mark Show podcast. So that's what we're talking about. When we talk about getting yourself out of the system, that's why we tell people to not have all your eggs in one basket. If they seize the bank accounts, if they seize up the banking system because of the debt that's going on worldwide here with the dollar and everything, I'm assuming that that's what they're going to do at some point. And you don't want to be vulnerable to it. That's why Bitcoin. That's why gold, silver. That's why you've got to be bankless before they shut down your accounts for political reasons. Now we've got Trump coming in, and this could be a fly in the ointment and a joker in the deck. And he knows about this stuff. I know for sure. Read his book Prophecy that he did in conjunction with Robert Kiyosaki. They tell you the whole thing. And Andrew Jackson, being his favorite president, kind of feathers into it
right,
too. So we're not sure what to expect. But why would you leave yourself vulnerable no matter what? His choice for Treasury Secretary. It seems to be
little disturbing.
Disturbing. He's a Soros guy. So, I don't know. You know, I like to think of myself as an umpire here. I call balls and strikes. I'm not.
But it could be that your enemy of your enemy is.
I don't know.
But we've talked about the banking system. We were talking about what is it, GSR or whatever. Mm-hmm. you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago about doing this to people?
Well, we were actually ahead of the curve, letting people know it was going to end up starting to happen. And sure enough, we ended up seeing it over and over again. And the other big one, too, is you have Mr. Kushner that he's looking to do a pardon for to become ambassador to France. And I don't know if you guys are aware of that story or following that at all. I personally wasn't, but I ended up doing another podcast here about it and learned a lot about it. But that whole thing is weird, man. Like, they had a weird incestuous relationship with the brother setting up his brother-in-law because he was going to be a whistleblower for the FBI. And so he ended up getting his brother a hooker for $30,000. Brother-in-law, and then send it to his sister so that she could end up seeing it to mess with their marriage. And so that's the charges that he was brought up with. Like, weird stuff going on that.
Kind of like this Matt Gaetz thing.
Kind of.
I don't even know what's going on there. I got to do a little research, but it's like, man, I'll tell you what. There's more blackmail going on in Washington.
Yeah, but was he appointed so for a reason the way it all happened?
I got to watch this Candace Owens podcast that was dropped. And again, I like to see myself as calling balls and strikes. And I don't know what's going on with Gaetz. It seemed like a good choice in a lot of ways. But now we're seeing there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes with him. And a lot of these guys up in Congress, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. We've got to have reform and call out corruption no matter where it's at, or no matter who's doing it. So that's what we need to expect.
I think when they start investigating or auditing the money and all that, more is going to come out about people.
And tired of investigations. I want some process freaking cutions. I mean, I want people to start paying the price. I want people to start going to prison for breaking the law, not get promoted.
Well, we all do. I'm not sure if that's going in the cards yet, even with Trump.
We'll see. I mean, the problem is you've got a huge mess here that he's stepping into a huge mess that's taking 100 years to develop. So
if not more,
I hope that he's going to come out swinging and do the right thing across the board. I have faith that that's going to happen. But, man, I'll tell you what, you got to call balls and strikes.
Well, I think that's kind of what happened before when he was in office, was he got in there and didn't realize how deep it was. That's my own opinion.
Well,
then he saw it.
There was a lot of people that he was trusting to let him know the people to pick, and the people that he was picking were not good people.
He made a bunch of bad picks. There's no question about that.
Right.
I did send you a video of a doctor that I think is important for this next portion of the segment. So there is a new...
You're talking about the Zero Head? Hedge?
Yeah, so the first self-amplifying MNRA vaccine has just been approved in Japan.
This is scary stuff. How do you do this?
Well, yeah, so you've got Pfizer and BioNTech. They had at least 4 MRA vaccine candidates at one point before they narrowed down on the one that we all know about. And now there is a self-amplifying version. The idea that's been kicking around the field for some time, a standard MNRA vaccine is full of nanoparticles of the appropriate RNA sequence, heavily optimized for stability, cell penetration, and effectivity of protein production once a strand gets in, but the amount of MNRA present in the shot is all you get. The specifics do degrade over time, so you have a set dose that even if you are given to introduce the desired immunological effect.
Can you say that three more times?
Right. When that happens.
A self-amplifying MNRA shot, as the name implies, contains the equipment needed to make more of itself once it enters the cell. You do this by not only injecting MNRA for the antigen of interest, such as one that encodes the coronavirus spike protein, but also MNRAs to get translated into replicate proteins that will in turn produce more of the MNRA species. Picture sending someone a sheet of paper with some important information on it, and then imagine that you're sending them a whole pile of copies of the sheets so that they can distribute them. Now imagine sending them a bunch of sheets of material that can assemble themselves into a working photocopier and crank out more sheets when they do. So that's the first one that just ended up getting approved.
So this Dr. Urso, who is he anyway?
He's a doctor.
Thanks.
But a butch.
Have you listened to the video yet?
I have. It's pretty good. But I wanted to go over, because we just had the CDC publish its 2025 vaccine schedules.
I was just going there with that.
All right. So do you want me to play the video, or do you got something to add to this?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
We're just
going to
go over, you know, the routine vaccine injections in 1986, when there was only 7, have grew to over 200 routine vaccine injections in 2025 in their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting one.
I'm just saying. I mean,
I already got them all in the service anyway. I'm done.
Well, you hope.
I got pounded with everything they could pound you with. So.
But here goes. CDC's 2025 schedule has 5 routine injections during pregnancy, over 70 routine childhood injections.
I wouldn't do any of it at this
birth point. Birth to age 18, and over 130 routine adult injections up to the age of 79.
And I'm sure that some of those vaccines are actually good for you and help do things like the polio vaccine and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I don't trust any of them anymore at this point. And the amount that they're giving, I mean, it's like the kids' vaccines. I get 68 vaccines all at once? What is that? What? There's not going to be any problems?
Well, it's just like anything. I think back in the day, maybe the vaccines were good. Are better.
I started adding
to them and doing stuff and messing with them and adding things.
So there had to be some good things in some vaccines somewhere along the way. I that's what I understand.
Back in the day.
I could be wrong about any of them. I'm not a doctor. But I don't trust them anymore after seeing Pfizer and the money and all this.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because they started adding stuff to it. And it became a money thing, and their goal is not to cure people. Their goal is to keep you sick, so you have to keep going back to them. That is their goal.
Well, and
let's be truthful.
You look at the list and the sheet they give you for most of these things, even if they end up giving you the sheet in the first place. And that's the list
that's
of
true.
Side effects that's 10 times longer than the problems that you were having, a lot of times causing the problems that you were having in the first place. And it's like, really?
Yeah, there's cures for a lot of things, but they refuse to let people know or do the treatment because it keeps people coming back.
I'm just going to go watch an Ozempic commercial and a Wobegon commercial. Just run a loop of that for about half an hour and see if you want to get anything from these people.
Well, and we are one of the only countries that allows you to actually end up advertising on commercials for products that your doctor hasn't talked to you about at all.
Right.
And the doctors get paid. The pharmaceuticals go, if you ever worked in the medical or dental field, here's some samples and blah, blah, blah. They get paid in order to push their products.
It's called science.
I go to the doctor recently because I've been having a lot of health stuff going on. And so I'm looking down at the bottom of this thing, and I'm filling out all these forms. And all the forms say copyright Pfizer on them. How objective can you be if your hospital's own documentation that they're signing you up with is all copyrighted by Pfizer?
And I love it. They're asking you, are you mentally okay? Do you own a gun?
Do you guys want me to play this or not?
I think we've got to go to a break
and then we'll play it, I guess. Okay. So with that, we'll take a break, and on the other side, we'll play the video. We'll see you in a few.
Back at it again. Mr. 47 in the house. You already know. Keep the mothers at the house, send the fathers left the word, let the teachers parent the children, rep from the birds, make them male, feed them pills, confuse them about what's real, tell them facts don't really matter, it's all about how you feel. Sign them at the racist, history that's erasive, indoctrinate a whole generation, you can't escape it. It's bigger than American politics, you're an accomplice. White people, racist and bigots, and you're a colonist. Get you my freedom with the courage, and do the opposite, it's toxic masculinity if a man is too confident.
What is a woman?
Well, I am not a biologist, common sense is really not common when you're a communist. Terrorists that care about the kids, just call them terrorists. Couldn't be a feminist, an environmentalist. If you led the country, then you're a white supremacist. Don't be defending it, cause what you say is irrelevant. Don't put your hands up, everybody stand up. The whole world going mad, bruh. 2 + 2 = 5. You're a racist if you don't think that adds up. Go and put your hands up, stand up. The whole world going mad, bruh. 2 + 2 = 5.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones from Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. As Christmas and New Year's approaches, we at Jones's Fort would like to thank all of the men and women in the United States Armed Forces. Loyalty, duty, respect, honor, and integrity are just a few things that the U.S. military stands for. Jones's Fort salutes you.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Get ready, rodeo fans. From December 4th to the 7th, we're bringing you live coverage straight from the National Finals Rodeo.
Tune in as we go behind the scenes with exclusive interviews featuring contestants, stock contractors, and even the president of the PRCA.
Whether you're a diehard fan or just love the excitement of the rodeo, you won't want to miss a second of the show.
Join us live from the National Finals Rodeo, December 4th through 7th from 7 to 9 a.m.
Brought to you by the Reading Rodeo Association and Reading Rancheria, bucking by the river.
Well, I guess we're back. I'm just listening to a video here. Good grief. I mean, you just can't make this crap up. It's just so off the charts that so we're going.
And anything with with Bill Gates in it.
Well, and you look throughout any of the history of our government, and you start seeing there is a lot of weird experimentation that we do on our own people and on other people at any given opportunity. Not to mention Project Paperclip. We had all the people that were over there doing all the weird experiments on everybody else, and we wanted that information. So we brought them over here, and we think that that's not still going on. It's...
Okay, so before we get to our caller, I'm going to play these two videos, really, maybe not all of them, but let's get them on the table real quick, and then we'll talk to our caller here. This is
Hold on, Lori.
This is the first one. This is the one we're talking about with Dr. Richard Orso. Let's play this one real quick, and then I have a response from Bill Gates.
But everything was a lie from the beginning. The asymptomatic people don't transmit. Kids were not harbingers of the disease. They don't actually, they're like a break on the disease. Lockdowns were a farce. Masks don't work. I tell people, I joke sometimes, I say masks do work. A lot like bathing suits work to keep pee out of the pool. They're not very effective. So that's one of those things that, it was a farce. Pretty much everything they said was a farce.
I know, we're still recovering from it. Just yesterday, we walked into a pharmacy and they were advertising COVID-19 vaccines.
Well, if you want to destroy your immune system, take a COVID-19 vaccine. It will destroy your immune system. It distributes widely in your body. It can't be broken down because it's a genetically modified RNA. There are contaminants, process-related impurities, what I usually call them, but contaminants for most people, that they haven't gotten out of the vaccines. And I worked on the drug that I invented. It took 8 years for us to get the process-related impurities out. It's hard to do, and I knew this would be a problem early on when they were trying to push this so fast, because nobody had ever made these vaccines in anything bigger than a blender. What we had is found is even worse. They put an SV40 promoter in the vaccine, Pfizer did, that actually well known for the last five decades to bind P53, the guardian of the genome, and cause cancers. They know that. We just, Kevin McKiernan, the head of the Human Genome Project, just actually did this discovery with a few other molecular biologists. This is really big news because the contaminants and the impurities in the vaccine are very dangerous. And there's design flaws, like I just pointed out. Wide distribution to the brain, the bone marrow, the ovaries, the testes, and long-term production, 6 months or more in the last study that we did. So there's a lot to talk about. Do not get the vaccines unless you just want a crummy immune system.
So here's Bill Gates' response to that. I want to get Bill Gates' response here. Gosh darn, what happened to my? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here's Bill Gates' response right here. This is he did an interview. This is on Slay.
Yeah. So there's basically two ways to help with cows. Cows are about 5% of global emissions, which is pretty unbelievable.
Wild.
And if your goal is to get to zero, you don't get to skip the cows or the steel or the cement or, you know, any of those big areas. So there's a whole class of solutions of making meat without cows. Today it doesn't taste as good and it costs too much. It's going through a little bit of a lull, but, you know, those companies, Impossible Beyond, Memphis and others, are pursuing that. In terms of the cows, we pursued many solutions. So one is to vaccinate the cows in a way that their gut bacteria that emit the methane, which is also called natural gas or CH4, which is the second most important greenhouse gas, you can vaccinate them and that species of bacteria isn't there. Their stomachs are very special because they can eat grass. You know, it's a three-stage fermentation process, basically. There's another way you can change what they eat, and you could either put that in their water or their feed. There is a drug to change the microbiome, not a vaccine, but a drug. That looks very promising. And then there's a solution where you stick a sort of a metal thing into the skin of the cow, and it actually burns the methane. And all of these look to be quite cheap and implementable, even in Africa. And so I'm, you know, this is one where I wasn't hopeful when I got started a decade ago. And now it's just a question of which solution for which country ends up being the best. Yeah, so there's basically
that's the guy you want on the job, right? He's not a mad scientist or nothing. Cows are the problem with the pollution and climate control and they're what? And they're yeah. They're the number two thing. Well, what's number one? China?
Yeah. And it sounds like they're making rocket fuel in that first one. You know, it has B3, yeah, all this, you know.
People are stupid.
Well, yeah. So because we don't want to take the vaccine, so you're going to put it into our meat so that we get it one way or another?
Okay.
But anyway, so.
Let's go to our caller.
We've got Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori. Lori.
Are you there, Lori? Lori. Calling all Lori's. There you are.
There we are. Sorry.
Hey.
In the quiet corner. Hey. Yep, I'll keep on the topic of what you're sharing. We've had so much with our local election distraction. I'm still looking at all these issues with Big Pharma and the vaccines and our local, you know, HHS, public health, pushing the cold, flu shots, your boosters. And we even have an online alternative media on her website. She's got the vaccine thing as a sponsor or something. So next time I see Annalise, I'm going to ask her for clarification on if that's a paid sponsorship or whatever. I want to share RFK Jr. has an upcoming appointment in the Trump administration, and Robert Exler sent me a really good video. It's about 3 minutes long, and RFK Jr. is stating that the CDC doesn't tell you everything about the flu shot, that not only is it not always the current strain, but you're four times more likely to get a non-flu infection by taking one of these flu jabs. So it injures your immune system. You're more likely to get what's called a non-flu viral upper respiratory infection. It's called pathogenic priming. The Pentagon did some study earlier, and they said that it's and they had a vax group and a placebo group. But they're trying to get the military readiness thing, so I'm not sure how much any of these shots are going to help them. Like you said, Mark, sometimes it depends on the age of the soldier or whatever. How many did they get? What was it really? Where are their records? It's kind of hazy and foggy. But anyway, 36% get a coronavirus from these flu shots. So there's been six other studies, not just what the Pentagon did. So I kind of wasted a few days trying to find and look that up. It is so hard to find stuff
like
that.
It's very hard to find sometimes.
It's extremely hard. And then you look at the clock, you're like, I can't believe I just lost all that time. But I'll put it in the chat room. This is all RFK Jr. talking to Alan Dershowitz, the lawyer, years ago, who was totally pro-vax until someone bonked him on the head and told him to wake the hell up. So the life expectancy, as we know, went dramatically down for our elderly. Remember when they were in the nursing homes and care facilities? They were the first ones. They all had to have a shot or two or three. The first responders, same thing. They started, you know, clobbering them. Well, now everybody's understanding what really happened here. So I'll put that in the chat room. I just want to mention that I would stay away from anything Bill Gates. Yep. My God, he's a demon.
Stay away from all of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, hey, Bill,
I mean,
Bill Gates is he's got all our best interests in mind, right? We all know.
Isn't it amazing they come up with these vaccines, whether it's the flu or whatever, and then they go, oh, yeah, by the way, that wasn't for that strain. You need to get another one for this strain.
Do you know what's really amazing?
Strain.
Is that they think you're so dumb you'll believe anything
they
tell
you.
That's what's amazing to me.
I so appreciate the three of you always enhancing, like, pay attention, look at the forms, like what you saw, Dave. You know, little small print, Pfizer, whatever it is. And they have all these little prompters, all these signage everywhere you go in a health facility. It's just, I cannot keep up with the real things I want to do, because I'm also paying attention to what's going here locally with the election stuff. But I tell you what, once that lifts, I am going to be looking at all the blood clot things. What's her name? Maria Mahaliasi. She looks at all the nano stuff and all the technology, these implants.
Yeah.
So one day maybe we'll pick a time, and or you tell me when you're kind of covering it, and I'll be primed and ready to kind of give some information too. But it's
sure.
just stacking up on my desk.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, you start
to be a kitchen table.
We appreciate you, Lori.
All right, you guys are the best. Have a good weekend. Right.
But there's so much. It's in everything. We have issues with everything, with the toxins and what they're trying to do. I mean.
Well,
we could spend hours talking about it.
And we have a government that has, at every opportunity, lied about all of these different things. So I just had this video that came up just the other day that I thought was extremely both funny, sad, and interesting. But here we go.
We dropped a bunch of Osama bin Laden toys over Southeast Asia for the kids. That's nice of you to drop toys for children, but why Osama? Because he was
And this is all unclassified CIA documentation as of recently.
Considered a hero, but whose hero has their face peel off when left out in the sun and turns into a demon? You did that to make the kids fear him? Yeah, but it's fun. But wouldn't you want the adults to fear him? Well, they're going to show their parents, and the parents are very religious in that area, so after seeing him as a demon, they're not going to support Osama bin Laden or hide him anymore. So demon doll, that was your plan? We did a lot of little things to dismantle his reign in the area, but the biggest thing was the vaccination project. Oh my god, what vaccination project? We went into villages and gave them free vaccinations, but we were actually drawing their blood and doing DNA sampling to see where his closest relatives lived so we could better pinpoint where his family was so we could know where he was. Misleading a bunch of poor people into giving you their blood? Yep. That's pretty messed up. Well, that's how we found him.
Wow. I don't know. On another note, we do want to talk about Ellen DeGeneres moving to the UK.
Yeah, that worked out well for her, right?
And it seems like there's a bunch of them that are moving, especially in light of Kash Patel getting appointed to the UK.
that breaks my heart.
But the story here is that after fleeing the U.S. in the wake of Trump's election victory, her new farmhouse has been devastated by a torrential rain, leaving the entire 43 acres underwater.
That just breaks my heart.
That's what God said, define justice. Divine, not define. I don't know. We had to bring that up just because it's kind of interesting.
In other news, there was a banana that was taped to the wall that sold for $6.2 million.
That was art?
That was art. So sometimes a banana is just a banana, but not last month when Sotheby's resold a specimen of fruit. The artwork sold for $6.2 million complete.
And where was
Hunter Biden the artist?
Right.
And who bought it?
Hunter was certainly looking. Hunter was certainly looking at that presidential pardon for the turkey enviously, though.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath on that one too long, because I think the pardon's coming here pretty soon. Although, you know what could be a sad
part? What about his drugs in the White House?
Well, now that's coming out. I'm hearing some talk in the wind that they're thinking those drugs are probably Joe's. So
got his uppers.
Joe might be a cocaine
addict. Sure, the pusher.
Who
man?
Knows what's going on? But that's what I hear. The whispers in the wind. We'll find out if that's true or not. But evidently, they've got some new evidence of some sort. But here's the dilemma. Joe might have trouble remembering who to pardon.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
I could see that being a thing.
Yeah.
You know, that guy. That guy.
Yeah. Him.
Him. You know what I mean.
Yes, he got hairy legs.
Not as good as mine.
Well, and we still have a lot of stuff.
I'm meaning Joe.
All right, so. Here's another article. This is on the Gateway Pundit. Remain close to DC. Remain close to DC. Your presence will be commanded, Representative Clay Higgins, who's the firebrand ex-sheriff from Louisiana, I believe, or Alabama, one of the two. I think it's Louisiana. He fires off a warning shot at Christopher Wray. Now, that's kind of interesting. This happened a couple days ago. And he told Gray not to distance himself from D.C. in the coming months. His presence will be requested. The hunters have become the hunted. So Christopher Wray deserves the same punishment he dealt out to hundreds of J6 families that were set up by Ray Pelosi and other Democrats that day. Justice is coming. So that's an actual tweet from Clay Higgins. You can go to Twitter or X if you prefer. And what do? When you say, you don't say he tweeted anymore, he X'd.
I don't even know.
I'm X'ing.
He posted.
I'm X'ing?
He X'ed.
I'm X'ing.
Yeah. So, yeah, he is from Louisiana. He has a history of confronting FBI Chief Christopher Wray on the agency's participation in organizing efforts on the J6 problem at the U.S. Capitol. So it looks to me like, the worm is starting to turn.
Well,
here.
They sure don't like that he appointed Kash Patel to be looking into this stuff. No.
No, a lot of this could be grandstanding. He said that they're going down, these men in their high perches and their positions of power and authority that are walking upon our entire history, our deepest core principles. They're not going to get away with it. All right. And, we'll see.
So what do you do with all these people that need to go to jail?
Send them to jail.
But we don't have enough jail space. Well, send them to the island? Can we put them on Epstein Island?
No. Deport about half of them.
To where? Mexico? Doesn't
matter. Their home countries?
Well, I mean, but some of them, like Hillary and all of them, where can we put them?
Gitmo.
Okay, I'll go with Gitmo. It may not be big enough.
So in regards to the immigration stuff, I got two articles here. So New York Post, New York City is now home to over 58,000 criminal migrants, including more than 1,000 gang members.
No.
They are convicted felons or facing criminal charges roaming D.C. or NYC, and close to 670,000 across the country. Startling new data obtained by the Post shows of the 759,000 illegal border crossers living in the Big Apple, the feds were aware as of November 17th, a jaw-dropping 58,626. 7.7% or previously convicted of crimes or had criminal charges pending, according to U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency. And of the 58,626 migrants with rap sheets, 1,053, nearly 2%, are suspected or known gang members, according to the agency. Now, I do see something wrong with their math, because according to my data, an illegal border crossing would be an illegal crime. So of the 759,000, 100% of them would be convicted or suspected of illegal crimes.
They came across illegally. Yeah.
So
just
we
what a difference it would make if we deported all of those people from the economy.
Well, apparently here there would be at least $220 million difference because NYC has just done, New York City has committed $220 million to rent the Roosevelt Hotel, a Manhattan landmark owned by the Pakistan International Airlines, PIA, a government entity of Pakistan. The hotel housing over 1,200 rooms is being used to accommodate undocumented migrants for 3 years under a lease agreement. This deal is expected to generate significant revenue for Pakistan, aiding its financial recovery efforts. How about that?
What? I hear noise.
Emergency. Are we doing an emergency test of the broadcast system on some other channel? I don't know.
It seems like it.
Are we doing a test? This is a. Remember, you used to have to do the bomb ones in school?
So,
under your desk!
1,200 rooms, an entire hotel for $220 million entirely
and who's
for immigrants.
And who's paying this bill?
We, the taxpayer, yeah. Are, to Pakistan.
Yeah.
That's
you think that we could find money someplace if we started cutting certain programs?
Well, I mean, that's pretty something. I mean, that's, whoo-wee. What even is the math on that? Let's do the math on that. Divided by three, so for the 3 years, that's still $73.333 million annually. So that divided by 1,200 rooms, we're looking at an average of $61,000 a room per migrant. Per year. Okay, who amongst you are making $61,000, let alone spending $61,000 on your rent a year? Think about that for a minute.
Sorry, I was chuckling because the headline says, scientists demand ban on boiling live crabs.
Oh, yeah.
Honest.
That's a problem.
It's in the Gateway Pundit. It's like,
that's right up there with white supremacy.
Yeah. Can you say stupid?
We do got to talk about P. Diddy, Puff Daddy.
Oh.
Puff Daddy. I don't even.
Diddy done diddled his last diddy?
Diddy is the diddler. So evidently he's being sued.
No.
For sexual assaulting and dangling a woman from a 17-story balcony. I think the troubles for Sean Diddy, Diddy Do It, Combs, is going to be just mounting and getting larger and larger. It's funny how, you know, we got the list coming out. Seems like people are fleeing to other countries, and I'm starting to see quite a few of them going now with the high-paid celebrity crew thinking that they need to get out of town because they didn't like the election.
Go join what's her name in UK.
Well, maybe, but it's kind of interesting here because of course Combs denies these allegations.
When you've got this whole journalistic integrity crap that they're trying to spin, and you look at all the people that did interviews with Kamala, and you ended up seeing, like, okay, so Oprah got paid $1 million to her studio just before that, and the production on it was like $2.2 million. And you had all of these other people.
A bunch
that
of people got paid. Eminem
got
$1 million. I mean,
Taylor Swift.
That's the only way she got people to attend.
Well, they're prostitutes. They'll do anything you ask them to do if you pay them enough. And now she's $20 million in debt, can't pay her. And she goes on half drunk on the apology tour. So I don't know. I mean, things are just so screwy right now. And we still got quite a ways to get to January.
Well, in this headline, after Democrats suffer a massive election loss, progressive influencers say the party just needs to give them more money.
Yeah, that's the answer.
More money.
Call up and donate some more.
Give her more money.
they need more wine they need more Bordeaux down in the boardroom. Good grief. I don't know. You just can't make some of this crap. We only got a couple minutes left here, but yeah, well, here's another story. Democrats worry continuing fundraising by Kamala Harris is hurting them with voters.
When did you get a clue?
It's like, no, Sherlock.
Yeah, when did you get your first clue?
Well, the other big thing that I think a lot of people need to know is that they ended up, they're trying to do GoFundMes right now for the DNC because they just laid off two-thirds of their staff.
Sounds like some of our local morons. Oh, yeah, I just got fired for insubordination, but I'm going to blame it on somebody else's political prosecutions and GoFundMe because I can't pay my rent now.
Well, this is pretty interesting. So the DNC let go of staff with no severance, says the union. So generally when this is the case, you end up having somebody that is expected to get paid through the end of the year. So they just laid off two-thirds of their staff, but this has huge implications for the midterms as well. Because if the entirety of the DNC just lost 66.66% of their staff,
shucks.
They're not going to be doing the calls and the things like that that they need to be doing to get voters
you
here
mean
in the
smaller
midterms.
Government would be terrible?
It's
shrink the government?
Kind of looking a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, we should go out with the music, have a holly jolly Christmas there. so we can go out with that because, yeah, I think it's appropriate considering everything that's going on now. Well,
we're almost there.
We're about there. I mean, yeah. I can't think of too many more things to bash here.
Seattle Apple workers closed store early to protect pro-Hamas die-in activists from arrest. An Apple store in Seattle closed early during Black Friday shopping after anti-Israel student activists occupied the location, but employees refused to allow them to be arrested after police arrived. Seattle police officers were dispatched to the Apple store in the University Village at 11.
I gotta go out with this story. Artist creates a two-story bronze statue of Trump's powerful fight moment in New York. That is the irony of everything.
And with that, we're at the end.
Don't compare it with the government. All gun control is racist. Y'all have a beautiful, wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you then.
See you next time.
What happened to the holly? Somebody waits for you. Our lives. I don't know what happened. That's good enough.
That is the holly jolly Christmas.
Oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Medical Center.